Hello and welcome to the CSFL Hub podcast. I am your host, Kyle. As always, we are going to finish the weekend off with our week review, week four review. So let's get ready to dive right into it. So kick off the weekend with the game that I was at this past weekend, and that was Penn versus Cornell. Penn had won this one 63-0. My player of the game was junior quarterback Andrew Piolini. He finished with 119 yards through the air with two touchdowns. Also added an impressive 122 yards on the ground with four touchdowns. So six total touchdowns for the junior quarterback. Like I said, I was at this game at Franklin Field. Beautiful night for football. Nice brisk weather right off of the river. Nice clear night. So it was a really good night. One of the pristine nights that makes, you know, Franklin Field what it is. Great venue to play some football at. As you can see from the score, it was very, very one-sided quickly in the game. I'll just start with Penn. You know, Penn took a lead early, and they just didn't, you know, let up any control for the whole course of the game. Got that offer up there for the defense. Like I said, you know, Andrew Piolini had a dominant day, maybe his most impressive day, definitely rushing the ball of his career. You know, 122 yards on the ground with four touchdowns. And he was joined by star senior running back Laquan McKeever, who added another 164 yards on the ground and two touchdowns himself. Both of those guys had one or two runs that were just, you know, jaw-dropping. I can remember a scamper Laquan had where I thought he was bottled up. I couldn't even see him, you know, on the field or on the Jumbotron, for that matter, and somehow he just managed to get out of the scrum, get out of the pit, and, you know, take off for another 20, 30, 40 yards. And Andrew had an impressive run where it looked like he was wrapped up. He was running up the left sideline, Cornell sideline. Looked like he was down, minimal gain, and then he just broke through on the right side and, you know, took it for an ungodly amount of yards. So, you know, both of those guys really showed what they could do rushing the ball. And Piolini definitely showed the league something more than I think we were used to seeing from him in terms of rushing the ball. You know, it's a career-high rushing yards for him, career-high rushing touchdowns for him. When the first two, three games of the season, you know, he wasn't really advertised as one of those more impressive quarterbacks in terms of just running the ball, you know, one of those dynamic threats on the ground. And, you know, could be from, you know, just a lack of competitive fervor from Cornell, but, you know, it is nice to see a young man, you know, go out there and dominate in such an impressive fashion. Flip side of that, defensively, again, held Cornell to 0 points. So, you know, there's a lot of love to go around, but definitely had some guys step up. Usual suspect, junior linebacker Lewis Evans was very, very impressive as usual. Finished with 15 tackles, two tackles for loss and a half a sack. And freshman linebacker Jake Nsira also had a very, very impressive game early in the year. Doubled up on that, finished with 12 tackles and 1.5 tackles for loss. Those two guys were just stuffing runs, sniffing stuff out. Couple big hits as well. Just didn't give Cornell any breathing room. Junior defensive lineman Travis Legum had the best game I've seen him have in recent memory. Finished with 6 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. You know, the Cornell offensive line didn't have an answer for him, you know, up front. You know, it is complicated scheme that they run at Penn. You know, so many guys, somebody's always coming usually. And, you know, it's a lot for those guys to try and pick up, you know, who's coming, where they're coming from, who's dropping back. But Travis, you know, definitely held his own up front, forced a lot of attention. And, you know, that did free up guys like Jake and Lewis Evans to make some big plays. But, you know, not to be left in the dust, Travis made a lot of big plays himself. Penn travels not too far, just down 76, probably 20 minutes, to Chestnut Hill for their third away game in 4 weeks. So the Road Warrior Quakers continue their season. On the flip side of that, Cornell, like I said, really couldn't muster up much. Any phase of the game, offense generated 144 yards, second lowest total of the weekend, I believe. Gave up 470 yards and 9 touchdowns. You know, not much to be said there. Another reason that the performance was so lackluster. There were multiple muff punts. I can remember two or three off the top of my head where punter didn't have the time to get the punt off, or the snap was very low, put the punter in a precarious situation. Just did not bode well for them on special teams either. And then that gave Penn short field, two or three short fields, which I think every short field that they got, I think they scored on. So just not there as a unit, not there as a team, any phase of the game. Definitely going to have to reevaluate some things if they hope to, you know, win a game this season. You know, one of the only guys who continues to show how effective he could be if the circumstances around him were just a little bit better is junior running back Jacob Wynkoop. He's pretty much is the only consistently reliable weapon that they have on offense. Finished with 46 rushing yards, 34 receiving yards. You know, not gaudy totals, but when you look at how dominant the Penn defense was, the fact that he even mustered that up is very impressive. And he continues, like I said, to be the only viable offensive threat. Yeah, and defensively on the side of the ball, junior defensive back Nate Roy is another guy who's, in my opinion, shown up every game they've had this season. He's one of their more effective defensive players. Finished the game with 6 tackles, 1 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. Things just got worse for the defense. I believe senior linebacker Matt Peck went out at some point in the game. I don't think he came back in. So when they lost their probably their best linebacker, easily their best linebacker, things just continued to get worse for Big Red. So Cornell heads back home next week to welcome St. Thomas Aquinas as they look for their first win of the season. Excuse me. So next up, we have what was undoubtedly the most exciting game of the weekend, maybe the most exciting game in recent memory, Mansfield versus St. Thomas Aquinas. Mansfield won this one 35-29 after 3 overtime periods. My player of the game for this game was freshman quarterback Cassid Raymond. Cassid finished with 204 yards in the air, added 199 yards on the ground, and 3 touchdowns. Like I said, this may have been the most exciting game in recent memory. I'm sure, you know, Army-Navy probably has some great games. I can remember some, you know, electrifying games from Chestnut Hill and Penn. But I don't think there's been a 3-overtime game, if ever, not in the 7 years I've been around for football. So that's something to marvel at in itself. You know, the level of conditioning, the level of competition, the level of dedication you have to have from your guys to go 3 overtime periods and pull out a win is absolutely incredible. Cassid Raymond, freshman quarterback, continues to excel. Again, 204 yards in the air, 199 yards to the ground, 3 rushing touchdowns. I believe he leads the league in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns as a quarterback, while, you know, being top 5 in passing yards and passing touchdowns as well. So he continues to make his mark across the league, continues to be the catalyst for this Mansfield football team. And they go as he goes, and they follow him, and he just takes them there week after week after week going on. This is week 4 now. It's his 4th straight game of 100-plus yards, and I believe his 4th straight game of at least 150 passing yards and 100 rushing yards. So things he's doing just continues to rewrite the record books and continues to put Mansfield in good positions to win football games. The defensive side of the ball was absolutely fantastic as well. Freshman linebackers Gage Almick and Gavin Hinman combined for 16 tackles between the two young linebackers. To have two freshmen, you know, lead your defense like that in tackles and play their part in a huge overtime win, you know, not enough good things can be said about those two. And senior linebacker Chase Moser only had 2 tackles, but he had a timely interception in one of those overtime periods. It might have been late in the 4th that helped, you know, propel Mansfield to that win. Next week, Mansfield heads back home to welcome Army up to Mansfield, Pennsylvania. And we go to the other side. Again, nothing to hang their head about. You know, the stack offense, stack defense did their job. It just came down to, you know, player two, end of the third overtime period that Mansfield just managed to make. But both teams should be absolutely proud of the effort they put forth. Stack passing offense continues to be dominant, you know, the driving force of this football team. For freshman quarterback Dennis Rordan threw for 303 yards and 3 touchdowns. Also added a touchdown on the ground with 32 rushing yards. So the freshman continues to sling the rock around at a very, very high level. He can just cut down on some of those interceptions. Stack will have, you know, what could be one of the better quarterbacks in the league for years to come. Third straight game for Rordan with 3 passing touchdowns as well. Junior Makai Matthews and freshman Hassan Blakeney continue to just be the most destructive pair of receivers in the league. They combined for 11 receptions and 166 yards between the two of them. The defensive side of the ball, again, Stack, their best players came to play. A senior defensive lineman, Tyreek Smith, led the defense with 10 tackles, 0.5 tackles for loss. I believe that's his second straight game with 10-plus tackles. And junior linebacker Malik Lucas had another impressive day, adding 9 tackles, 0.5 tackles for loss. The young linebacker continues to be one of the hardest hitters that the Stack defense has and one of their more consistent players as well. And again, just as an entire unit, you got to give it to the Stack defense, you know, holding Mansfield offense, you know, say holding the 35 points, but holding them to 29 points in regulation and, you know, just continuing to fight and fight and fight and holding them out for as long as they did before they ultimately scored, you know, a touchdown to win the game. Not enough good things can be said about both of these teams after a performance like that. Stack heads to Cornell next week to continue their season. Next up, we got Navy versus Alderson Brodus. You know, less competitive than the last game we just talked about. Navy won this one 65-10. Navy finishes the weekend again with another impressive performance. My player of the game is junior running back Alex Tota. Finished with 101 yards and 2 touchdowns. Sophomore quarterback Brendan Atwood did not play this game. You can only hope, you know, if it's due to injury that he's okay. So senior quarterback William Leon got the start. And, you know, with the cast of players that he has, you know, didn't have to do too much. But, you know, he went out there and did what he had to do, had some good numbers. Finished with 268 yards and 1 touchdown. You know, they always go through the run game first. You know, that's no surprise. That's not, you know, not breaking any news there. Senior running back Matthew McGee and junior running back Alex Tota, you know, just continue to terrorize defenses across the league. You know, between the two of them, they had 176 yards and 4 touchdowns. Again, Alex Tota was my player of the game. And then sophomore wide receiver Andrew Margiotta, again, got right back to some of his earlier season explosiveness. Finished with 6 receptions, 139 yards. That's his second 100-yard game of the season. It continues to look like a stud at the wide receiver position, which you aren't really used to seeing there. So if he can continue to improve, they'll be in for a lot of big games, win a lot of football games. You know, if they're able to continue to run the ball like that with that two-headed monster, and you have a receiver who can go out there and legitimately make plays, you know, regardless of play design or level of competition. Defensively, real well-balanced attack. Again, you know, when you hold a team to so little points, you know, you get a lot of evenly dispersed tackles, a lot of evenly dispersed sacks. Freshman linebacker Major Kent led the team in tackles with 10 and added 1.5 tackles for loss. But, you know, when it comes to going out there with the first group and setting the tone, junior linebacker Paul Kuehler led the first unit in tackles. He had 8 tackles and then 2.5 tackles for loss. Navy gets their bye week this week before they welcome Cornell to Annapolis. Again, the growing pains for Alderson Brodus continue. Saturday marked the third straight game that they gave up 30-plus points. Despite the shortcomings, you know, there are some guys who continue to shine. You know, I've said it once, I'll continue to say it again, as long as the young man continues to produce. Junior quarterback Timmy Tillman, you know, is going out there and doing what he has to do. It shows a real good knowledge of the offense, knows how to get the ball down the field, get the ball to his playmakers. He threw 492 yards, freshman Blake Baxter finished with 2 receptions and 102 yards on the night. Easily his highest production in terms of statistics this season. And junior wide receiver Shamon Guinness is without a doubt the best offensive player that Alderson Broaddus has. He finished with 8 receptions, 95 yards, and a touchdown. Nice to see him get back to some usual production numbers. Freshman linebacker Dalton Dunkel led the team in tackles on the day with 15. And again, you know, not much resistance they can really offer Navy, you know, more experienced team, more upperclassmen. You know, Alderson Broaddus is really just trying to get the ball rolling again, you know, in remnants of that 2019 season that they had, their inaugural season in the league. But, you know, keep getting coached up. Players continue to improve, you know. It's just, you know, their time of year where they're getting their licks handed to them. It just it happens to every new team in the league. Everybody's been through it. Some of the teams experiencing success right now, not too long ago, they were in the same position. So as the seasons continue to go, games continue to go, definitely expect Alderson Broaddus to improve. It's just, you know, they're getting their licks right now as they can continue to get better. Alderson Broaddus visits Caldwell for the first time in program history as they look to get back on track next week. Last game of the weekend, we had Chestnut Hill versus Caldwell. Caldwell won this one 24-3. My player of the game is senior running back Carl Watson. He finished the game with 121 yards, 1 touchdown on the ground, also had 1 reception for 6 yards. A season of firsts continues for Caldwell. You know, they beat Cornell for the first time in program history last week, and they doubled up on that by beating Chestnut Hill for the first time in program history this week. Junior quarterback Frank DeMeo has been a steady pace setter all season, finished with 114 yards, 1 touchdown, added 31 rushing yards on the ground. But without a doubt, the catalyst of the offense so far all season has been senior running back Carl Watson, who had his highest rushing total of the season, adding 121 yards on the ground with that, as for mentioned, 1 touchdown. It's nice to see, you know, Carl Watson, who has been there since the inaugural year of Caldwell. You know, like I just mentioned with Alderson Broaddus, you know, he was there when they got some of those bad losses. He was there when they were getting their licks. And now Caldwell has jumped out to their best start in program history. So you can always feel for a guy, appreciate a guy who was there, was on that inaugural team. You know, like I said, he was there when they were getting, you know, beat up. He was there when they were going through the growing pains. And now to, you know, reap the rewards of all that hard labor is definitely something you can appreciate for a guy like that. Junior wide receiver Jeremy Colon has been the leading receiver for Caldwell this year. He finished second straight 80-yard game, 3 reception for 80 yards. Cougar defense frustrated Chestnut Hill all night. Junior linebacker Jamal Redis, senior linebacker Anthony Guerrero, and junior defensive lineman Michael Lorman all had 7 tackles apiece, and between the three of them, they had 3 tackles for loss and 1 sack. Freshman linebacker Andrew Coughlin really showed his versatility on the night. He finished with 4 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 1 sack, and 1 interception. So he had his hands all over the defense, you know, giving the Chestnut Hill offense fits. Caldwell heads back home to welcome AB to New Jersey for the first time in their program's history. And for Chestnut Hill, the struggles continue. Offense only generated 100 yards, 51 rushing yards, 49 passing yards. Freshman quarterback Connor Rohrbach has his second straight difficult game. He only completed 5 passes on 18 attempts, 0 touchdowns with an interception. Offensively, that was about it. Not much from the Griffins offensively today. Defensively, you know, despite the loss, some of their staple defensive players continue to produce. Junior defensive back Ryan Jakeman finished with 11 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and a sack, well, 0.5, sack, half a sack. Ugh, that always throws me off. But he's been a constant presence for the Chestnut Hill defense this whole season. Freshman defensive lineman Nas Koch had his best game of his young career. He finished with 8 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. Again, not much there for the Griffins offensively. Defensively showed some bright spots, showed some flashes despite the loss. They're looking to get their first win of the season. Well, their second win of the season, but they haven't had a win since Alderson Broaddus on opening night. Chestnut Hill heads back home to welcome same city rival Penn for their next game of the season. So on that note, that is our week four review. Please excuse me. I don't know if you can hear. I'm a little nasally. Change of the seasons is really getting me bad right now, but gonna get it, gonna beat it. Gonna have to knock me out tougher than that to beat me, but I am feeling it right now if you can't hear it in my voice. But gotta get you guys, you know, the content for the week, so I'm pushing through, persevering. But on that note, again, thank you for checking out the CSFL Hub podcast. Next week's review won't be as short. Hopefully my voice and my nose won't be bugging me so much. But as always, I'm your host, Kyle. Thank you for tuning in. Check you out next week. Peace.